Hello, hello, hello. Niyama Xiang here, and welcome to the Outliers Edge podcast. I am so grateful for being a part of your journey. And I am actually even grateful and appreciative and thrilled and honored to bring something to you in a different flavor. Today, we are joined with a number of different people who are out in the world shaping their world in a vision that aligns with like who they are and what they have to bring to the world. This is what we do here at Outlier's Edge, and specifically with the World of Difference. And I'm incredibly honored to be able to introduce you to three people who they're playing the game. We're going to have a conversation here in just a bit after I introduce you. We're going to have a conversation that is really focused on them and getting both their perspectives, their experiences, and also just the different ways that they think about it. Hopefully throughout this conversation here, we'll be in a space where we are challenged in and of ourselves, and what we thought was necessary in order to accomplish something might end up just being a stepping stone or a small gap along the way. I have two young kids right now, so I'm thinking about baby steps. And people say, take baby steps. And my thing is for a baby, those steps are really huge. So I'm really excited for wherever this conversation goes. Let me do everyone a favor and just introduce, give you a chance to introduce yourselves. I like to give people a chance to speak into themselves into the room. So we have Dom, Nat, and Dave in this conversation here. I'd like for you each to just go through and we'll do this. If you can just say your full name and then let people know what's the mission that you're on in the world and how are you currently bringing that to life? Dom, why don't we start with you?
Okay. Thanks, Niyama. Thanks for having us on today. So my name is Dominic Bohan. I'm the co-founder of Story IQ. We're a training company, mostly corporate training, and our mission is to teach people data storytelling and data literacy skills. So sounds a bit jargony. What that really means is helping people learn the 80-20 of skills that you can use in the workplace. So the skills that you can learn quickly that are accessible to everyone, that you don't need a math or statistics degree or a whole bunch of pre-existing education to start applying, so that people can start getting value from data. So what we're all about is not what you might think of as data analytics. It's not the hardcore data science stuff. It's doing the basics really well. It's a lot of critical thinking, problem solving, doing simple analytics, but focused on the right question. And then most importantly, data storytelling is getting someone to actually act on the insights that you've provided, selling your message to someone so that they can take action.
That's absolutely fantastic. And Dom, I know you have a podcast as well. Why don't you go ahead and let us know sort of if someone wants to continue getting to know more about you and diving into being a data storyteller, they have a pathway to do that.
Thanks, Yama. So it's called the Data Driven Podcast. We talk about data storytelling, but we also talk about data analytics use cases. So it's a very practical podcast. We have guests come in from all sorts of different industries. We have people building tools with AI that they're using to leverage data. We've got people that are data analysts. We've got leaders from industry, from big companies. And the podcast is really about telling stories. It's about inviting guests to come on the podcast and share their stories of how they've actually got value from data. So instead of going into the technical details, they're telling us, how did we actually achieve a result? We've had stories of people that have massively slashed their marketing costs by optimizing their marketing analytics through artificial intelligence and analytics, all sorts of use cases like that, where we tie it back to a practical application.
That's fantastic. And I love the tying it back to a practical application part of it too, because as we have this conversation, we're going to go off in many different directions, but everything we say here is done with intention and has some application along the way. So as we go on, we'll just make sure we thread that needle as well. Thanks, Dom. It's a pleasure to be in conversation with you. And I'm excited to tell this story with you here today. Matt, help us get to know you.
Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show, Niyama. And it's good to be with all these guys here. My name is Nat. I have a podcast called Transcend with Nat. I also have a weekly newsletter on Substack called Transcend with Nat. And I do a lot of private coaching, spiritual counseling, I work with people often who are feeling stuck in their lives and who need that help to either realize a dream. Maybe they're unfulfilled in what they're doing in a relationship, or whatever struggles they're having in their life. And that's something that I work with people to move through those times and those areas to have greater fulfillment in their life. And a lot of my work around that, I do workshops as well. I told Dom before we got online here that I'm going to Australia. He's from Australia, and I'm going to be doing some workshops there, as well as surfing up along the coast as I do it. Because I live in Puerto Rico, you can see my favorite beach behind me. And part of my life is surfing, and I use a lot of lessons from that in the work I do with people. And so that's really, I want to help people get above their problems often and find the way through to something that they want more of in their life, so they're more fulfilled.
So Matt, well, thank you very much for bringing that in here. It's a wonderful beach there. I'm like, just to be able to like see that and be able to go, it's making me, it's making me think about what I want to do with the rest of my day. So I appreciate you on that. Awesome. And Dave, let's go to you. Tell us more about you. Tell us about the mission that you're living out in the world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Matt, Dom. Nice to meet you both as well. My name is David. I am the basically founder and creator of what I call Florida Beer Media, which encompasses floridabeerblog.com, a blog that focuses specifically on Florida beer that's been going on for almost 10 years now. As an offshoot of that, we also created the Florida Beer Podcast, which has been going on for about 3 years. We're approaching episode 150 of that. We had some other podcasts and a live show that we did during the pandemic, which have come and gone their course. But with this, with both of those and with some other projects we have coming up in the future, there are a lot of stories that are happening in craft beer and I guess related industries such as spirits and wine and cigars and so on. And a lot of the time those stories are left uncovered. People either don't know that they're there or aren't listening in the right spots. And it's one of the things that I've always wanted to do is to learn those stories myself and get those out. There's a difference between picking up a beer from the shelf and drinking it and understanding all of the societal and legal and cultural influences that led that particular product to be in your hands.
Well, David, I'm excited that you're here. It's cool. It's cool to see like the longevity. You've been here for like 10 years, showing up consistently, and allowing things to just continue to grow. And what I'm hearing is that they're like Florida Beer Media has things that right now are currently working, and you've also tried some things that have actually fallen to the wayside. And it's cool to keep bringing this level, like different types of experiences, and like also the length of experiences into this space here. Y'all, I'm excited to talk to you all. And this right here is part of what a world of difference looks like. Like we're from vastly different backgrounds, you know, and we're doing vastly different things out in the world. And at the same time, there's a unifying component to it all. And the unifying component is that we've chosen to step into leadership, and we've chosen to go and bring more of what it is that we're looking to bring out into the world. I'd like to start us off here with just like this, to playing off the place of leadership here, and taking a look at it and just saying like, given who you are, and it could be you as the individual leader, or you can think about the organization that you're part of or the business that you run, like how are you seeing the things that like, I would say like maybe are your more unique strengths and talents? How have you found ways to implement that into what you do? And how has that led to like some of the results that you're seeing? I'll leave this one as an open question if anyone wants to jump in first, and then just say your name so that people can hear, they can associate you with it. And then let's continue on from there.
I'm happy to, I'll jump in. I'm Nat, and my Starbucks name is Matt because everyone always gets it wrong, M-A-T, but I'm actually Nat, like Nathaniel, like Nat King Cole. And so it's Nat. And one of the things that I do well, I would say, is I listen. especially in my one-on-one sessions. I've trained to listen, and it's so amazing what you get from listening, because most people actually have the answers already that they're looking for. And if I can listen to what they're saying, and then the next step is to listen to what they're not saying, and to find what that is, and then reflect it back to them, usually that's all you need to do for someone to have that aha moment where they can step forward, where they can get through whatever is blocking, because most of our blocks are inside, from my experience. And to answer how I've applied it, I mean, I've applied it often. I apply it all the time in my coaching, and the results I've seen. For instance, I have a friend who 5 years ago I was having a conversation with, and I was coaching him through. He was successful in the diamond industry, and he was looking at doing a real estate fund in mobile home parks. And we both agreed, I love financial stuff too. And so that's how we got onto the subject. I was like, this looks like a good industry. And he had been wanting to do a fund, but he didn't know if he could do it. And so I talked him through it, and every time he would just tell like his fears or he can't do it. And I would just be like, well, like, how would you do it if you could? And can you get through that? And, you know, why not do it now? It was always later. Cause we always, my teacher, John Roger, always said, you are in your laters now. And so the later doesn't exist. So it's like, what do you want to do now? And so he finally got through it and did his experiment, fund number one for that. Then he did fund number two. And at this point, those funds are now worth $100 million. And then now he's on to fund number three, going into home offices and bigger money now than what he was before. I mean, for many of us, $100 million is pretty big money, but there's even bigger money. And you know, that kind of thing, or just the person, and she's in corporate, she's good in her corporate job. And then recently I was working with her, and she had trained and wanted to do this work of personal coaching, specifically with certain types of trauma that she had been through and she had worked through. And she wanted to give that value to others because she felt it'd be more fulfilling. And I just kept listening to her and going through with her the things that were blocking her. And that was like the salaryitis, right? The like, I need the salary, I need to pay the rent, I need to pay, you know, like, or the mortgage and this and that. And we got through that. And now she's off doing she's making that transition now into this new thing. And so that's how I've worked with the listening part and the reflecting.
So I'm hearing, I heard three things. One of the three things really stuck out to me in there. One was like the superhero power of the listening, right? So your ability to take things in, and you said something like to hear what's being said, but more importantly, hear what's not being said. The element of reflecting that back. And then you said something around the later now. I tend to say something, we model the future in the present. And when I brought you all in here, I said, I lead the World of Difference movement. But the point of this here is to show what it's like to like live in a world of difference. Like this is the end state. So I'm hearing that there, and I appreciate you bringing that into this space here. Dom or David, like how are you all using like your superpowers? What is your superpower and how do you use it for what you're building out in the world?
Could I just riff off something Nat said? Cause it Please. Really resonated with me. So I knew there'd be connections between our disparate things, and I'm sure I'll find a connection between data and beer at some point beyond me just liking to drink the stuff. So the power of listening is probably the most important thing we try and get across to the people we train in order for them to be able to present great stories with data. And you'd be amazed at how many people don't do this well. And I know because I used to be one of these people. So in the world of data, there's a huge tendency to be like, all right, I've got my facts, I've got my data, I've got my analysis, I've got my p-values, it's really, really accurate. And then to just thrust that in someone's face, basically, to try and drive a particular decision. And what I learned over time is to step back and basically do exactly what you said, to listen to what they're saying, also what they're not saying, and ask as many questions as possible and get them talking before presenting a recommendation. So if I can give an example, back earlier in my career, when I was doing things the wrong way, it was a situation that we had with a supplier. I was working in procurement analytics, and we had a supplier that we were recommending because they were cheap. And what I discovered later in the process is that the person that was going to sign off on this decision didn't really care about the cost. All they were focused on was the customer experience. Now, they're not going to pay a completely insane price, obviously, but they didn't care about a 5 or 10% cost reduction if it was going to impact the experience for their customer. And so I ran in with a recommendation way too early before I understood what the decision maker actually cared about. So if I can bring it back to leadership, I won't say it's a superpower because it's kind of the opposite of a superpower. It's being humble. And in a leadership position, I basically look for opportunities to share stories of where I made a mistake or where I screwed up, especially when you're teaching people, to show people that as an instructor facilitating a class, I'm not standing there going, you guys have to do this and I'm the big expert and I know everything. Quite the opposite. I'm showing that it's normal and it's okay to make these mistakes. And man, the amount of mistakes I've made, I could fill the whole podcast with it.
Hey, this is Dave here. I will definitely say listening is critical because while you may be a leader and you may be in a position of power, you do not know the person who you're talking to as much as they do. And only through those conversations, and I'm very lucky when I go to visit some of the people that I speak to, I'm also able to observe things that I never would have anticipated or never would have thought about. And you're able to use that sort of in the conversation. I'll bring up an example since Dom did. A couple months ago, we did an interview with a brewery, Lost City, and the name can be an idea for what they sort of go for. It's very much Indiana Jones, old temples, civilizations, things of that nature. But when you take a look at some of the tap lists, it's very evident that we have some Tolkien fans there, which took the conversation in a completely different direction. And had I not paused to take a look at that, is something that I never would have known about. But that ended up being a good portion of that particular interview because I allowed myself that moment to sit and listen and observe.
Let's stay on this element here around like especially when you just said I allowed myself that moment. There's something in there that I feel when I think about outliers and world shapers out there that that go on the path and they see, like, let's say the data says something here, or like, hey, this is what the person is telling me that they want, or this is what we said we were coming into this conversation, and then seeing that there's a different path, a path that most people haven't taken, a path that most people wouldn't take. I would love to like slow down a little bit on that, because I feel like at first I was thinking, oh, this is something that happens like at the very beginning of your journey, taking that first initial step into it. And then as I'm thinking about it, I think about it for myself. I'm like, no, this keeps happening. Like there are more and more opportunities to step into a bit of the unknown. So this sounds like, Dave, I'd like to start with you on this one here. Like, tell me about like stepping into the unknown, you being able to see that path that most people wouldn't take, and some of the choices you've been able to make, and like the results that have come from, you know, choosing the path less traveled, or like the less illuminated path for you.
Actually, it's kind of interesting because one of the reasons why I really got started doing the podcast is I would listen to other podcasts and I would be entertained and I would learn some things, but I always left with the feeling of, but I have all of these other questions, and you didn't ask those other questions. You didn't come close to those questions. What's going on with those questions? I want to know what's happening with that. And so I very quickly, very early on, made that conscious decision to go down that pathway. And there are certain questions that I don't ask because I already know the answer. I know how you got started brewing. It's almost the same story for everybody. What was it like working with the city that you're in when it came time for zoning laws and things of that nature? Things that are incredibly critical to the industry that most people don't even think about, because it's very different opening up a clothing store than it is opening up a place that literally creates a product that not only is a drug technically, but in certain ways could also be a bomb. You know, I did not realize some of those things until I had some interviews with some distillers. And so I sort of had that vision. I understood what I wanted to do and why I wanted to do that, why it hadn't been done before. And I stick to it. And it's honestly, it's a selling point for me when I introduce myself to a new organization and want to chat with them, or they come up and say, you know, I've heard your stuff. It's really good. Let's talk about this thing that I'm very passionate about.
I want to open it up for everyone else, but I want to just get a little bit more into like the selling point for you first, real quick here, because there's something here where it seemed like it could have been a negative. You're like, if I look at everyone else that are doing podcasts or they're taking it down this path, I'm going to start asking different types of questions. And now it's become a selling point for you. And I love to go and see how we can take the things that people consider to be a negative, things that they're like, oh, I don't want people to know, or I don't want to like actually show others, and highlight how that ends up being like an actual positive, something that works for you, right? So can you speak a little bit more about like when you say it's a selling point for you? It doesn't need to be too much, but I just want to get a sense of that a little bit more.
Well, absolutely. It actually accomplishes a number of different things. So when I'm able to focus on the sort of information, a lot of the brewers are very happy about it because this becomes the conduit where they are able to talk about things that are affecting their business and their industry that nobody really mentions before. I'll use example. We've got a number of state laws here in the state of Florida. For example, a brewery cannot self-distribute. If you go to a place like Texas, they've got a bar across the street. They want to walk a keg over. You know, there are a number of states that can do that. Here in the state of Florida, if they're literally across the street or they share even the same parking lot, it has to be picked up by a third-party distributor. It has to be taken back to a warehouse where it must sit for 24 hours. And then the distributor can charge whatever they want to that restaurant that's right next door. That is something that you don't get a lot of when you look at beer social media. You don't see it on the advertisements for the Super Bowl, but it is intensely critical and literally a point of business for the breweries that are here in the state of Florida that affects their bottom line. They're not really able to talk about it. And so I become the place where they can talk about it and get that information out. Switching up gears a little bit, obviously there's a lot of interest in creating breweries. Got many, many home brewers in the state and in the country. You know, thank you so much to President Carter for signing that legislation into law. And while it's great to find a way to dial in a recipe, there's a lot that goes into creating a business. Making a beer and making a business plan are two drastically, drastically different things. And so my product, my industry kind of becomes the place where the people that have done it are able to give real actionable advice to the people that want to do it.
I appreciate that, David. Thanks for that. Like, I'm glad I asked you to expound on it. Just like, as you're talking, it's getting me to think differently. It's making me think about like even the next questions that I would ask. Like, I'm like, okay, like the word curiosity comes to mind, yes. You know? And it's like, so it's like, oh, how does listening and curiosity come together where it's not just like the rote questions like in here, but it's like, what are the questions no one else is asking? And what are the questions that you wish someone would ask you, but you don't have another place to go and ask that? And then what comes out of that from a platform perspective? It's really working on me. Let me open it up to Dom and Nat. Anything you want to say to anything that David said at all, or if you want to go back to the question about like walking into the unknown for you, like I'll be curious about that as well. But let me just open up some space on that.
I'd be keen to double down on curiosity because I think it's a natural extension of what happens when you actually listen. And a bit self-serving because it's also something that we try to foster in our training is sparking that curiosity and getting people to think differently, think about creative solutions they might not have considered. So I can share a little example. This is an example that a friend of mine encountered. And I can't share the name of the company. Don't want to get sued. But he was working for a big travel website. And their competitors started taking professional photos of the hotels on the website. This was back in the like 20-teens. And so they had amateur photos on their site that the properties had just taken themselves. So they said, all right, we need to do a test and we need to compare professional photos to amateur photos. And what they found when they spent a lot of money taking professional photos is that the professional photos were converting worse than the amateur photos. And it doesn't sound right, but according to the data, they perform worse. They had really good, sophisticated marketing analytics, and they were willing to move on. But there was someone in the team that had a very curious mind. And he said, let's look a little bit deeper. Let's ask a few more questions. And one of the questions is, when were the photos taken? And they were taken in the northeastern United States, here in places like New York and Boston, in January, in the dead of winter. So the professional photos were showing bare trees, they were showing snow, and the amateur photos were mostly taken at nicer times of the year. And I'd expand on curiosity and add asking good questions. So part of it can come from domain knowledge and experience, part of it can come from listening, but part of it can come from just freeing your mind to explore beyond data, beyond traditional questions you might ask, and just think creatively. And it's such a cliche, but the old no stupid questions. Just throw everything up there and then see if you can test any of it.
This is like now I'm curious about you because I know like in coaching, like questions sit very, very like core to it all here. So what's coming up for you as in this conversation? How are you seeing this play out for you? And if we need to take it in another direction, go ahead with that.
Yeah, I mean, a few things have come up. I mean, the question thing is really thing. I think it's even more so of there's no stupid questions to ask the stupid questions. And that,
so if I'm getting you right, the distinction there is like there's one to acknowledge that there's nothing there, that there's no stupid questions, and there's another part to like actually like then be. I want to use courageous, but just ask it. Yeah,
actually put it out into the world. And that's been honestly one of the hard things for me in my life, because you have to be willing to look like you don't know what you're doing. You have to be willing to look like an idiot. To ask those stupid questions, but that's how you get like the real information. And so I think that as Dom was talking about the questions, that really hit for me. The other thing that really hit was just how there is the theme I see going through here too, is that there's this theme of the story. And I think that that's something that's that as I'm listening, I hear that the story is so important to like David's industry. And that's where you get the real pay dirt, you know, like of and that's what engages people. I mean, if you go back through long times, a lot of the way that we've learned through history is through stories. You know, even a lot of the great mystics or Jesus, they use parables, which are stories, right? Like, you know, you use stories to teach, to show people. And Dom's business has story in the name, Story IQ. And I think from a consciousness perspective that I look at, like the stories that we have learned about or that we hold inside of us about our past, and we can change those stories because often it's like how we created the story. I mean, what happened, but then the story we created around that can then drive us for a lot of our lives. It can drive our behaviors unconsciously. And so as we find our own story and what those are, and the curiosity, I mean, that's just the thing to me. I'm such a curious person that, you know, I think that's a big driving And it makes life interesting when you're actually curious about other people and about other things.
Right now. Yeah, I was definitely muted for a little bit. Yeah. You froze for a bit there. It's like we had a bit of a toss-up, but like there's something that is playing out for me as we're in here. Okay, so that is still going to be coming back online in just a bit, but I'm seeing and hearing these the through lines throughout here. And one of the things that, again, I'm someone that likes to model the future, right? So model what it is that we want to see. Hey, welcome back, Nat. Welcome back.
Thanks. Sometimes important, and that's never actually happened to me before where I'm actually kicked off. Wow.
Yeah.
But sometimes it skips for a second, but I'm in the Bermuda Triangle. So yeah.
This is it. This is also why I choose I actually like this podcast format. Like a lot of times people will go by and they'll do a lot of edits and such. I choose to do a lot of this, let's let it out in the world. And the reason for that is I'm we can talk about failures. We can talk about things that don't work the way that we want to and so on and so forth. But some of the biggest most transformational, most up level in moments have been when I've seen how leaders have actually navigated that. It's like they just got called out in front of their entire in the middle of their retreat. There's 150 people here and someone is saying, I don't believe what you say. I think you're full of it. And to be able to be in that space to see how people navigate with that has actually been really incredible. So I'd like to leave all these things in here. I'd like to give all these places because there's that before you took off. I'm going to take things. I'm going to start wrapping us up all together. But before you took off, you were talking about how story seems to there's something that's touching on all of us here. And I was paying attention to that. I was like, oh, I love how everyone's bringing in a great example. Here goes where it is, and here goes the example. And then when they gave the example, there's just really strong storytelling techniques that are taking place. I'm engaged in it. I want to acknowledge you for investing in your storytelling, what it means to be a storyteller. Because it's one thing to be told to tell a story. And there's another thing to actually have built the fundamentals and the skill set to actually be able to tell that consistently and in a compelling way. So I really appreciate each of you bringing what you brought to the table here for telling the stories for being you throughout this year. What I'd like to do is give us a few minutes just to wrap up on something that we want to just make sure that the world knows, whether it's related to what we're doing or something that may have come up in this conversation. Let's give each of you just about a minute or two spotlight. Let's say with a minute here, but a minute spotlight, just share something that is obviously either an insight or a takeaway that you want from the result of this conversation. And then what we'll do is we'll go around and make sure everyone has a way to get in contact with you. And we'll close off for today. Does that sound good to you all?
That's good.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. All right, Dom, why don't you take it away? What's the insight that you're looking to share?
It's been great to hear from Nat and David, and that storytelling is important to their business and what they do in the world as well. We're a storytelling training company. A lot of when you talk about data storytelling or business storytelling, it often gets misinterpreted as you've got to have this grandiose presentation and use these storytelling techniques to make it really, really engaging and all of this stuff. And coming back to what Nat said, I think it's really a lot more about being authentic and coming back to the first part of the conversation, understanding your audience and listening to them. And to tell a great story, whether it's a business story or any story where you want to influence someone, it could be on a podcast, it could be to your friend or significant other, especially if you want to persuade someone of something, that fundamental skill of understanding what they care about and weaving the story towards that, showing them how whatever you're recommending can benefit them, that's really the essential skill. And all of the show personship is secondary to that.
What I want to do is I'm going to keep the ball rolling because I don't want to take away from what you just said. So thank you so much on that. Dave, how about you?
I think the one thing that I definitely took away from, and it's something that I had on the back of my mind, is the no stupid questions idea. And the way that I take it from is not from me as an interviewer, not from me as a creator, but I take it from the point of view of a listener, because while I may think it's a stupid question and the person that I'm speaking to may think it's a stupid question, I guarantee you somebody who's listening, somebody who's reading genuinely has that question because they don't know. And I know that the next creators and the next thinkers and doers are out there listening right now. So it's important for me to look like the idiot so that way they don't have to worry about that. They've got the knowledge so they can move on and either affect change or just become knowledgeable people or create the next thing.
That one hit me in a nice way there. I appreciate that, Dave. Nat, how about you? What's your final thought on that?
Well, I would like to give a little technique about listening that I think could help your listeners. And Niyama actually did it. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, that you did it, and it's the way I heard it called. It's called many different things, but perception checking. And it's basically you listen to what the person's saying, and then instead of responding to what the person's saying, you say, what I heard you say, and then you can start by just repeating back what they said, but repeat what you actually got from what they said, you know, and give them a chance to correct that. Because sometimes we say things, and when it's
give it a second here. Okay. So what we'll do here is, unfortunately, it looks like Nat broke up in this space. And I want to look to see if we need to. Sorry that here we go. Let's do this. You're back with us. Yeah. Why don't we bottom line it in a sentence? Yeah. Give us what you want.
Listen to what they're saying. Repeat back what you heard them say, give them a chance to check it. It works in business. It works in relationships, especially as a guy, often men are accused of you're not listening to me. I mean, I've heard that in many relationships, and this is a technique that actually works. Like if instead of trying to fix it, you just reflect back to the person what they're saying. So that's a technique I would say is really simple and helpful in the learning how to listen.
Well, I appreciate all of you. It's really funny because at a certain point I'm like, okay, it's time for us. We have to with the time that we've had allotted, we're gonna have to start wrapping up this conversation. But I also am like, oh, it feels like we're just warming up. And that's when I know. I'm like, it's a good thing. If it feels like we're warming up, then we're building an ongoing relationship. Well, I'd love to continue this conversation, have each of you on individually for a longer conversation here. I think it's, you're doing great work in the world. The organizations that get to work with you, for the places that your things get to go in the future, I get really excited. Let's go really quickly here. Just go through, just make sure if anyone wants to continue down the path of getting to know you or getting to stay in your world or to keep telling stories with you, where can they go? Dave, can you let us know first? Then we'll go to Nat, and then we'll go to Dom, and we'll close for today.
Okay, pretty simple. FloridaBeerBlog.com is that website. Florida Beer Podcast is the other website. Podcast is available, Apple Music, Spotify, so on and so forth. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, and I guess Threads. It'd be at Florida Beer Blog. Sorry, Facebook is at FL Beer Blog. And then whatever Elon Musk wants to call it these days is at Florida Beer Blog as well.
I like that you're leaving it open. It's like whenever you listen to this, it's that place. Nice. Nat?
So my website is Transcend Online.
Can you say that one more time? Your website is what?
Transcend.online. And Transcend with Nat, name of the Substack. You can go there, Transcend with Nat, Spotify and Apple and all that for the podcast. And you can reach me through my website, transcend.online, Instagram, Transcend with Nat.
Awesome. Thank you. And
hey, our website is storyiq.com. That's it. You can reach me through the website. And if you want, you can check out the data-driven podcast on all the main podcast platforms.
Well, I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your openness. Thank you much for bringing your experience to this conversation. I appreciate you all, and please keep going forth and creating your world of difference out there.